following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I am so grateful today to be here. I apologize for having to sit down on the job because I just cannot stand. My leg has gone crazy on me, and for some reason, the devil wants to work hard at keeping me away from doing my job, is all I'm going to say. But I am so grateful for the fact that there are not 30 stairs like there are at Sipamo Point that I went to this morning. It definitely helps you when it's not having to be going upwards, but on level ground. Those four stairs were enough. That's enough, all I'm going to say. But today I want you to turn to chapter 9 in Matthew. And I want you to understand something today, that Jesus had a specific purpose in mind for coming. And his purpose was to get you to follow him. That was the purpose. Now, Jesus has other desires, and you're going to see that this morning. Because in our text, we're going to start in verse 9 of chapter 9. And we're going to read through verse 13. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Father, grant through your words today the message that we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Jesus started gathering his apostles, and Matthew records this for us, the fact that he called him, the first thing he told him was to follow me. And when you hear those words from Jesus, the call goes to everyone that we should follow him. Now, what does that mean to us? The fact that God was gracious enough to give us the opportunity to be able to follow Jesus. That's what it means to us. Now, the sad thing is, okay, the Jews or the Israelites were given the opportunity to do just that, follow God 100%. The problem that they had was that God set up a sacrificial system for them so that if they occasionally sinned, they could have a sacrifice and bring that to the altar of God, and God would give them credit for that sacrifice and appease their sin at that point. Well, you know what? It wasn't happening just one or two times. It was happening regularly. And Jesus saw this. And if you remember, later on in the ministry of Jesus, he will overturn the money tables that where they were buying animals to sacrifice because it was such a vicious cycle, they were wasting animals. And Jesus said, I desire compassion. I do not desire sacrifice. But notice, Jesus was speaking as himself. I do not desire sacrifice. I desire compassion. Kind of interesting that he was portraying God even at that point. But he was God, so he could very well portray God. Now, I love the words that you read this morning about the word, but I'm going to go to verse 14 in John that says, and the word became flesh. So understand that Jesus was the word of God. He was in the beginning. He started out there and he came to us so that we could actually have an example of who to follow so that we could actually worship God. That's what he wanted. Now, he said, I desire compassion. Those who fail to see that sinners need a savior do not have compassion for others. That's the first thing I'm going to warn you about. The second thing, he said, I do not desire sacrifice. God had instituted sacrifice for the occasional sin, but worthless sacrifices were being done without repentance, and sinning and sacrificing was continual. I dread to think how many animals were wasted for sacrifice, because the Bible tells us that the animal's blood cannot pay for sin. So how many times did they go? And the sad thing is, the Pharisees and the priest were extorting money from the people by even selling sacrificial animals to them. Think about that. How horrible had that gotten? When Jesus finally said, okay, enough is enough. My Father's house is a house of worship, house of prayer. It is not a house for a den of thieves. And when you listen to that, you know that Jesus was concerned about all sinners. We just read that Jesus sat down with tax collectors and sinners. Now, those who consider themselves righteous. Now, notice how he said, the physician doesn't come for the righteous, he comes for the sinner. Right? But those that consider themselves righteous are sinners who do not realize they are. Because you cannot be righteous unless you have a Savior that makes you righteous. It's his righteousness, not yours. So the desire of Jesus is for us to actually come to him and follow him. But now, I want to talk to you about the dedication of Jesus. And in that same chapter, we're going to go to verses 35 and 36. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read from larger text that I have right here so I can, without having to bend over and scrunch. It says, verse 35, it said, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Now, Jesus was so dedicated to the work of fulfilling the will of the Father that he was going to every city and village in Israel. Now, how many were there? I mean, state of New Jersey has how many cities in it? And it's about the size of New Jersey if you go to Israel, and you'll see that. So every little bitty spot that had a synagogue, what was Jesus doing? He was going in there. The first thing he did when he got there was teach. Think about Jesus' teaching. I wish I could preach and teach like Jesus. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. Because he, I'm sure, did the job better than anyone could possibly imagine of how to do the job. Then he proclaimed. Now, I'm going to tell you that his proclaiming was something that was a little different. Because if you study Matthew, you're going to realize that in chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, he started his preaching ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, Jesus wanted us to have compassion, but to do that, you have to repent of your sins and start following him. Wow, that kind of hits home. All of a sudden, that kind of steps on my toes also, because I'm guilty just like y'all are. I hate to say it. But Jesus had more power than anyone that ever came down, and he could heal. So that was the fourth thing he did. He healed people. Not only physical healing, which is every kind of physical disease, but he also healed of every kind of spiritual sickness. Notice how it states that in there. And when you start thinking of Jesus, the one thing that you know about Jesus is the fact that he came for sinners and he wanted to heal them of their sin. Well, It takes dedication to do that, right? The second part of the dedication that he has is doling out compassion continuously. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, doling out compassion? First off, you have to realize that people have a need. Okay, that's the first thing. And that if they have a need, then you have to try to minister to that need. And that's what Jesus did. I'm going to read further. Matthew 14:14 says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them and healed their sick. All right. That's the second time that you heard he had compassion. Matthew 15:32. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Now, did Jesus see the physical need and the spiritual need? Yes, he did. He didn't just waste his time on just saying, hey, y'all have a need. I'm going to pray for you. Sad thing is, you know what? That's what we do. Now, think about it. Somebody comes up to you and they have a need. What are you going to tell them? I'm going to pray for you. Instead of having the compassion and be inclined to do something for them right then. Now, why did Jesus feel all this compassion? He knew that every one of these people were lost without him being able to save them. First thing he saw was the fact that they were distressed. What does that mean? They were full of sorrow, misery, suffering, and pain. This is physical and mental anguish. Take a look around you. How hard is the world today? I hate to say it. Every person that you meet either has anxiety or stress or something that's of that level. Why? Because Satan is attacking them like no other day. Satan is continuously doing his garbage work, is what I call it. And the sad thing is, he uses others to make it worse on us. So if you're distressed, does Jesus see it? Yes, he does. Now, the second thing he saw was the fact that they were dispirited. It's a little different than distressed. Distressed is the physical part of it. Mental, yes, somewhat. But the spiritual side, he saw the dispiritedness of them. Going through the motions, low self-esteem, lost and not belonging. This is a lack of general self-worth. How many people do you see with their head bowed down, don't even make eye contact anymore? I find that that's one of the things that you can't reach people because they don't even see you. But you've got to see them so that you can reach them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Now, when you start studying sheep and agriculture and stuff, sheep are the worst animals that there are because they have to have protection. They are defenseless. They have to have direction because they don't know what to do. And they have to have motivation. So in other words, the shepherd has to be able to call them. And what does Jesus say? If my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, right? So in other words, he saw them as lost sheep. Now, the dedication of Jesus, the desire, the dedication leads to the determination of Jesus. When Jesus is determined to make something happen, will it happen? Oh, yes, it will, without any question. But I want you to understand that Jesus wanted things to happen in a specific way. So turn with me to Matthew 10:6, probably the same page that you have open. 10, 5, and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus is saying, start where you are to witness. Where do you live? You live in Morgan City. Or you live in the surrounding area. Do you have a neighborhood that you live in? Yes. Can you witness Jesus to the people in your neighborhood? Yes, you can. So why did Jesus tell them to start there? Because he was sent to the house of Israel to get them straightened out so that they could go forward and straighten everybody else out. But that didn't happen because they didn't recognize Jesus as a Savior. Matthew 15, 24, and then I'm going to read verse 28. It says, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but this woman that came to Jesus asking him to heal her daughter, he said, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. Did Jesus turn her away because she was a Gentile? No. So in other words, he said, I don't care if they're all Christians that are in your neighborhood. If there are non-Christians, talk to them also. So in other words, Jesus said, you know what? If they consider themselves righteous, talk to them because they need help. If they're not saved and they're still sinners, talk to them also. Now, sad thing is, that's where most people stop. But if you remember the great commandment that he had in 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So his determination is so that every single person in this world can hear the gospel of Jesus. What saves you? Does anything else save you? Absolutely not. If you don't come to Jesus, you have no salvation. And Jesus knew that. But he also knew that people were like lost sheep and that he needed to talk to the leaders and try to get them to understand that if you're going to be a shepherd, you need to lead your people to where Jesus is. How do you get people to know about Jesus? You tell them about Jesus. But look at Matthew 12:11. He says, what man is there among you who has a sheep and it is, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Understand, Jesus sees all of the lost people as sheep. And if they have fallen away from any type of religion that they had, trying to bring them back to Jesus, what does he say? Get them out of the pit. Lift them out. I don't care if it's on the Sabbath day. You have to do it then. The work of God continues 7 days a week is basically what he's saying here. And you have to realize that if somebody is a sinner, they need a Savior. And that Savior will shepherd them the way he needs to shepherd them. Now let's go a little further with the sheep. And I'm going to tell you, this is the story of the 100, and one got lost. Matthew 18, 12 through 13. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not just leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that went straying? If he turns out, he finds it. Truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So in other words, Jesus has desired and is working towards the determination that every single person be saved. Every single person. Now, The third thing I'm going to tell you is at Matthew 18, 14, the next verse in that cluster of verses we just read. It says, so it is not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. In other words, I'm doing my Father's will, and he does not wish for a single person to perish. Did you understand all that I've stated so far? I mean, I think it's pretty plain that Jesus' desire was so that every single person could be saved. And how do you do that? You get them to follow Jesus' lead. You have to accept the fact that as a Christian, we need to show the world Jesus. How do you do that? You don't just tell them about it. You have to show them. You have to act like Jesus. You have to have compassion just like Jesus did. That compassion comes through the love that we show each other. But you know what? It's easy to love people inside of a church. What about the ones on the outside? Shouldn't they be subjected to some of your love? Some of your compassion? I mean, I feel like, you know, yeah, this box that's called our church, we like sitting in the pews and being aware of the fact of everybody in here is like-minded like us. But the sad thing is, we don't necessarily want to go out into the neighborhood. Get out of the box is what I call it. We don't necessarily want to do that. But we all should do that because that's what Jesus desires of us. He wants us to follow him and lead the people to him. Lead the people to him. Now, I'm going to try to put some practical application for everything I've told you all this morning. The first thing I'm going to say is don't get so busy that you can't see people need you to teach them the gospel of the kingdom of God. The worst thing is for us to ignore the fact that sinners are going to hell. That means we have no compassion for those that are dying and going to hell. That's the first thing. The second thing is, don't get so busy that you don't have time to show compassion for what others are going through. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a lot of my friends through the years get to the point that they need to use a cane. I never thought I'd get there. But here I am this morning with a cane, and I hate to tell you, I can't stand on my leg because if I stand too long, it'll hurt so bad I'll be screaming. So understand, you can see the fact that people are going through things. Have compassion on them. Sylvia, you brought me a stool this morning. That's compassion, honey. Let me tell you, if it wouldn't have come up here, I wouldn't be up here. But she also brought a bottle of water. She saw the need because if I'm going to be preaching, yes, it does take some energy out of my voice. So simple little things like you brought a cup of water. What does Jesus say about that? You took care of me because you took care of somebody else. All right, number three. Don't get so busy that you don't have time to help anyone in physical or spiritual need. I can tell you right now, we all have busy life schedules. And the sad thing is, the world makes it hard for us not to have a busy life schedule. Even preachers have a busy life schedule. I told Little Pass that I don't know if I'm an associate pastor there anymore. I preached at 20 different churches within the last 20 weeks. So you tell me if I'm a member of Little Pass anymore. I don't know. I think I showed up there 3 times in those 20 weeks. Now, I can be there at nighttime, but you don't see the crowd that you see in the morning. And I miss those people. I really do. But you know what? That's what God has called me to do. So guess what? I'm doing what he's asking me to do. That means I'm talking to a lot more people that I would have normally talked to about Jesus. Here's the fourth thing. Don't ignore the desire of Jesus that you learn what he meant with, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. In other words, Jesus wants us to live a sinless life if possible. That's what he wants for us. Because when we start living a sinless life, we are separated from the rest of the world so that they can see what their sin is. That way they know that Jesus did something different in us. Number five, don't ignore the fact that if you are saved, the righteousness you have is not your own. It is Jesus' righteousness. If you are saved, it is because the grace of God. You received a gift of salvation. You did nothing to earn it. You could not save yourself. You couldn't work into heaven. You couldn't pray yourself into heaven. And your friends that are already Christians can't bring you to heaven unless you have a personal salvation. Now, I tried to show you that Jesus desires for us to do what he did, and that's to teach the world that they need a Savior. I also showed you the fact that he was dedicated to the exercise of doing that. If we're going to be Christians, we need to be dedicated to teaching other people about Jesus. And then the third part, we have to have some determination in life. If we're not determined to show compassion to everyone that we meet, we have failed at our exercise. Now, I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but you know what? The more Jesus talks to us about things like that, the more we know that we need to correct our ways. Sad thing is, okay, we haven't stopped sinning. We're all guilty of that. But you know what? The more we talk to Jesus and the more we get into the scripture, the more we know we should stop sinning. Compassion's a difficult thing at times because sometimes you think you're being taken advantage of when you're helping somebody. But you know what Jesus said? Help them anyway. Help them anyway. What they do with it afterwards, Jesus will take care of. He will straighten it out on his own time, in his own way. But you know what? For us, we've done the right thing if we've showed compassion. We've done the right thing. Now, I'm going to ask John to come up front because I cannot stand and pray with people this morning, unfortunately. I'd love to be able to do that for you. But you know what? God's going to handle it because this young man here can pray just as good as I can. And the prayer of a righteous person hinders a lot of sin. You know what? That's what God wants us to do. Pray with the righteous person. Let me close in a word of prayer real quick before I offer that invitation to you. And I'm going to say, Father, at this time, as we heard your word and we understood your word and we know what we got to do with your word, Father, let us not leave without acting on your word. Today, as we go our separate ways, give us a blessing of getting home safely. And Father, if there is anyone that we meet this week, give us the opportunity to bring up Jesus. We know that we bring up all kind of things like the weather, sports, all kind of other difficult things that we want to do like fishing or whatever hobby that we have. But Father, the main focus that we should have is making sure that they are saved when they're in our presence. And Father, if that's not our compassion, make it our compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.